A national panel released a report this week looking into SSI. That's the Supplemental Security Income Program, which gives out federal disability benefits to poor adults and children, in addition to traditional welfare, to help with a range of problems. The Social Security Administration convened the panel a year ago to look into the ballooning number of payouts for mental impairments in children, after reports that poor parents might have so-called perverse incentives to, say, Medicaid kids in order to get the benefits. Dr. James M. Perrin is a professor of pediatrics at Harvard Medical School in Boston. He was one of many experts on the panel. Dr. Perrin, welcome.
Thank you. Nice to be with you.
Well, very, very nice to have your expertise here. And we know the panel didn't directly address and investigate this concern about perverse incentive. So we'll put that aside for a second and take it up in a moment. But just tell us a little bit more about SSI. Flesh out what that program is.
So SSI is a program to provide additional benefits to people, adults and children, who do have quite severe disabilities. The bar is set very high with the level of impairment or disability that a person must have in order to arrive at benefits. But in general, we know for children that having a child with a severe disability really increases family costs. They may have unreimbursed costs like extra diapers or household renovations or transportation costs, and often a mom or a dad will have to stay out of work or limit job advancement because of having a child with a disability. Right. So this is extra money to help repay those additional costs.
Right. And you may not necessarily be on welfare, although many people on welfare also are eligible for the additional SSI payments. Could you tell us what the range of, when it comes to the mental impairments in children, what are we talking about?
Sure. So the diagnoses that children typically have are things like autism spectrum disorder, attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, sometimes severe depression and anxiety, intellectual disabilities. Those are the sorts of things that we're talking about in this group of conditions.
Now, one thing you did find is a real difference in how regions of the country and states in the country, how people living there apply for SSI. Tell us about the differences.
Surely. So we report substantial differences in what are called allowances. That's if you apply, do you get given benefits, and numbers of recipients, children who actually do have benefits on a state-by-state basis. Now, we did not have the resources. We weren't asked by the Social Security Administration to explain those differences. We simply report them. Mm-hmm. And we actually do hope that the Social Security Administration will go ahead and do a more in-depth study of why these differences exist.
Right. But for instance, one of them is that in Pennsylvania, families are almost six times more likely to get the SSI payments than people in Nevada. Did that concern you?
Well, it does raise questions. We'd like to understand more about why those differences exist. Some of the differences probably do reflect differences in rates of these conditions in different states. They also probably reflect different levels of poverty in the states, because you do need to meet certain income requirements as well to be eligible for SSI.
Yeah, there's a formula to figure out who qualifies, but these are people in poverty.
That's correct. So 70-80% of children who receive benefits live in households with incomes below 200% of the federal poverty line. That's about $45,000 a year for a family of four today. I believe the majority of families had incomes less than half of that.
But this variation, as you know, it's fueling this concern that it could be that people are telling other people about it. I want to refer you back to something I know you're also familiar with, one of the reports that sparked this panel from Patricia Wen of the Boston Globe, who did a huge series in 2010. She begins the piece with a mother talking about how she has three hard-to-handle, very young kids. Her friends tell her, look, there's a payment that you can get. There's extra money that you can get if you just put them on medication and say they have attention deficit disorder. The mother doesn't want to do this because she doesn't want to medicate her kids. But it's hard. She's in poverty and getting maybe $600 a month for welfare. She can double that if she gets these payments. You're aware of this concern that now if more people in one state are doing it, the thought might be maybe they're telling each other. As a pediatrician, Are you concerned about that?
So I think there are a couple of things that that help to put some light on that question. First of all, we did some analyses for this study, the first time ever done, which showed that there's a substantial reservoir of children who have fairly severe disability associated with their mental health conditions who are not receiving SSI benefits. And we actually think there probably is a substantial number of kids who ought to be getting benefits who aren't getting them today.
You think there should be even more? I just want to jump in because the statistics in 2010 were pretty amazing, that the SSI checks for low-income kids because of mental or learning or behavioral issues jumped to 53% from 8% in 1990. That's an amazing jump. And in fact, the top two disorders in 2010 were attention deficit and delayed speech in young children. Doctor, if I'm hearing you, you're saying you think there are even more children who have been undiagnosed and would deserve the same checks.
That's correct. Yes, we are saying that. And I think that percentage increase really reflects a couple of things. Perhaps the most important finding of our study was that the rates of increase of mental health conditions, at least in the last 10 or 15 years, are highly consistent with the rates of increase that we see in children generally in this country, and especially among poor children insured by Medicaid.
So in other words, the number that's under the SSI checks is about the same as the number outside of the world of the SSI checks.
Well, the percentage of children receiving, yes, that's correct. And the percentage growth is the same. Relatively small number of children with mental health disorders receive SSI checks.
But again, there is this concern. I mean, it's anecdotal. But if you hear of one mother who's told you should do this, the concern is that particularly in the low-income, poor neighborhoods where kids are going to be impaired by their environment, to medicate them in order to get a check is devastating.
Of course. And that's thanks for really raising that question. I guess I'd say two things. One is, you know, if I'm a mom or a dad living in poverty in downtown Boston, you know, and I hear a friend of mine that's been able to get better resources for her child and family, I'm sure as heck going to go after those resources too. Perfectly appropriate. It's the right thing to do for my family. I'm probably not going to get them, by the way, but I will go after them. We studied in our work, and other people have studied the same thing too, as to whether children who get SSI have higher rates of medication use than children who don't get SSI. And the answer is they don't. They're really comparable levels of use. And there was a study, we did not do it, but there was a study that was done a few years ago, which looked at whether children who were allowed, who actually got benefits, had higher rates of medication use than children who weren't allowed. And in fact, they didn't. You know, only a quarter of children with ADHD who apply get benefits. Three quarters don't. So I think this notion that just starting your child on medication will make it much easier for you to get SSI, simply there's no evidence to support that notion.
And we should say, though, that you and the panel have asked for a deeper look at how SSI funds are granted. We want to say as well, the data shows that about half the children on SSI are white, half are black, some identified as Hispanic, two of every three are boys. Just very quickly, Dr. Perrin, as a pediatrician, why do you think there is so much of a rise of ADHD in the last 30 years? Is it because there's an outbreak of new cases, or is it because we're recognizing it?
So it's a combination of both. We certainly are recognizing it. We're certainly recognizing autism much better than we did in years past. So that's partly what we call ascertainment bias. But yes, indeed, we are seeing that more. On the other hand, there's pretty good evidence there's actually an increase in the rates of these conditions as well. I think that's really one of the more disturbing aspects of life in America today, that the three or four or five major childhood chronic conditions, obesity, asthma, mental health conditions, neurodevelopmental conditions like autism, are all increasing in prevalence. We need to figure out why and what we can do to prevent that.
Dr. James Perrin, professor of pediatrics at Harvard Medical School, and also a member of the panel that just issued a report on SSI payments to children with mental impairments. Dr. Perrin, thanks so much.
Thank you so much. Very nice being with you.
And again, he does not think the SSI system is being abused and that it is valuable.